Now, our scripture lesson for this morning is Mark chapter 1, verses 14 through 20. Hear now the word of God. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." And as Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boats mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. This is the word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
So Jesus, in this scripture, says, "Come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men," right? Or fish for people, depending on how you want to read that, right? So, it may surprise you to know that I don't have a fishing rod, okay? Given some of the things I've revealed before. However, my daughter does, and it's a real fishing rod. It's a Shakespeare, right? It just has Anna and Elsa on it, okay? And she has been fishing as many times in her life as I have with her pawpaw, and she loves it. Hasn't caught anything yet, but that doesn't mean she doesn't enjoy it, okay? So I brought this little visual aid here to remind us of what we're doing. So we're fishing, right? We're fishing for people. This scripture is funny because Jesus says, you know, he goes up to these two guys in the boat, right? And he sees them fishing, and he says, "Come follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And usually this text is used to talk about how we evangelize, right? People talk about, here's how you can fish for people. Let me tell you how to fish for people better. What are we doing? Where are we bringing them? The answer is usually we're bringing them here, right? To put them in butts in the pews, right? Okay. And preachers talk about catching people for Christ. And that's all well and good. Now, I'm not saying that's wrong, but I don't think that Jesus, in this scripture anyway, is giving the disciples a how-to method for evangelism, right? I really think that what Jesus is doing is he's calling the disciples. And he's calling them in such a way that will entice them to follow him, right? That's what I think is going on in this passage. So Jesus looked at these two fishermen. And I want you to think about times when you've been fishing or your loved ones have been fishing and they're out there in the sun and it's hot and they're sunburnt and they're sweaty and they're working hard, right? And maybe some of the language they're using is not church Sunday morning approved. And you know, all this sorts of thing. They're out there and they're rough and tumble guys that fish. And they don't just fish like we do, like, you know, cast out and get a fish. Right? They're hauling in nets full of fish, right? So they're strong and they're working hard. Jesus looks at them and he looks at them and he says they have something to offer. Now, I think that's an important thing to note because I don't think most of the people in Jesus' day would have thought that these fishermen had something to offer, right? Imagine the priest. Do you think the high priest has any need for fishermen? No. How about the people who've been to all the schooling? You think they look at these fishermen and say, "I wonder what their knowledge is of ancient Hebrew and Aramaic." Right? They may not have even been able to read. So they weren't very useful to them. How about the rich people? Do you think they looked at the fishermen for anything as important? No, they didn't even go to the market to buy the fish. They had people do that for them, right? They just knew it showed up on their plate. Somebody cooked it for them. So these fishermen were useless to most people, though nowadays they would have been known as essential workers, right? Because without them, you don't eat. If you want fish, anyway. And so Jesus looks at these guys who for most of the culture would have decided that they were useless, and he sees them. He says, "Look, not only do I want you to follow me, but I want you to follow me, and your skill set is what I need. That I need you." And he invites them to follow in a way that they not only understand, but they're good at. Isn't that something? Isn't that what Jesus has done with you and me? So, we're talking about fishing for people. So when we fish for people, what does that mean? What does it mean to fish for people? Well, I want you to think about the way that we fish is different than the way that James and John and Peter and Andrew fished, right? We fish, we use the rod and the reel and the hook and all that. And this is, she broke the twine or whatever you call it, the line. And so now she has yarn. But anyway, she's caught this fish. And we catch one at a time, right? When we fish, we use a hook and they use nets, right? Ours is singular, theirs was multiple. Our fishing involves sitting, right? Well, maybe if you're fly fishing, you're out in the water and you're standing up, but mostly you're staying in one place. My understanding from my father-in-law is that you do that because you don't want to scare the fish off, right? So you stay in one spot and you're quiet, which is why I'm not good at fishing. And staying in one spot and being quiet, both of those things. And probably why Harper's not very good at it either. We sit on a boat, we sit on a bridge, we sit on the shore, and we wait. And we cast our line, and we sit bait out for them to bite, right? And then what happens when they're enticed by that wonderful bait? They bite, and they get hooked. Because in that wonderful bait is the hook, right? You're trapped. So I think that this is interesting, right? When we fish, for most of us, it's something that we do for fun. Something for relaxation. When they did it, they worked at it. It was more like the deadliest catch guys you see on TV, right? They were out there in the water and they were hauling in a bunch of fish, and the Sea of Galilee was no picnic, okay? Big storms could come up on it and could capsize you just in a moment's notice. So, if this is an allegory for evangelism, then maybe we're doing it wrong. Because, look, if we really believe that the gospel is good news, then we don't have to trick anyone to take in the hook, right? So maybe we don't need bait. We feel like we got to have bait in order to catch fish, in order to catch fish for Jesus, people for Jesus, that we have to have bait. Sometimes in the past, maybe we've used, you know, hot dogs for bait, or we've used, you know, hey, look, we have this program for bait. But when what we do in the church is designed to catch someone or trick someone into joining us, then we've missed the point, haven't we? And no hook. The message of Christ, following Jesus, is not something that should be painful. In fact, but choosing to follow Jesus is liberating. Right? We get to, now, it may be painful in that we have to give up some of the things of this world. That is true. But it shouldn't be something where you think, hey, this is going to be great. And then when you join in, the hook is, now we got you. And now is when the hard part happens, right? Maybe you felt the hook in the church before. Goes a little bit like this. Well, Miss So-and-so, we're so happy to have you with us, and you've brought your kids these last couple of weeks. Now we need you on the PPR. Right, I know you can't do it that quickly, but I was picking one that sounds scary, okay? We need you on this committee. We need you here. You have to do this. You have to organize that. It's your turn. You've got to do it. I'm tired. I don't want to do it anymore, right? That's a hook, right? They thought they were coming in for something wonderful, and what they got was work. Doesn't mean we don't work while following Jesus. That doesn't mean that we don't have responsibilities in our organization, like our church or whatever. But it does mean that we don't catch people. We don't try to hook people with the bait and switch. Next. I feel like if we're going to look at this as an allegory for evangelism, then we can't have a laser focus on getting that one fish. Too often, we set our sights on laser focused on that one person, right? How many times have you had a preacher tell you, think of one person in your circle of influence and make sure that they come with you tomorrow or next Sunday or whatever, right? That can work. But the problem with that is that that's not what Jesus is talking about, right? That's not the kind of fishing that the disciples were doing. Were they out fishing for just one fish? Did they have to get the best fish? Did they have to catch the fish that had the most meat on it? Or in our case, the one with the most meat in their pocketbook, right? No. And I'm not saying we do that, but sometimes the church does. Sometimes we think about who can we get, right? If you don't believe it, when my parents first moved to my hometown, they were some people, they're teachers. And one of the other teachers said, "Where are you going to go to church?" And they said, "Well, we're Methodists, so we're probably going to go to the Methodist church in town." And they said, "Oh, you don't want to go there." So why? Why do we not want to go there? They said, "None of the important people go there. It's just music people," right? And so the thought was, hey, you needed to go to the church, and the churches needed to get the influential, important movers and shakers in their place, right? Now, this was in the 80s, okay, so it was 30 years ago now. But here's the thing. I believe that that attitude still is there, right? We have to get the important people. Also, we don't need to wait for the fish to bite, right? If we are evangelizing like the way that my daughter goes fishing, then we are out there, we pick a spot, we cast it out, and we say, "Well, I hope some fish come," right? How many times has the church done that? Everybody is welcome. Well, that's great, but if there's no fish in that part of the lake, then you ain't going to catch anything, right? These disciples, when they were fishing, they went where the fish were, right? That meant they went to the middle of the lake where it was dark and deep and scary, or they went to the corner of the lake where there were people who were going to throw rocks at them. They didn't care. They were going to catch the fish because they went where the fish were, right? What if the church went where the fish were? What if we looked at the... Not used to holding a fishing rod while I preach. What if the church looked around and said, "Where are the people? Where are the people we're fishing for? Let's go to them," instead of expecting them to swim up very nicely and bite onto our hook? How much different might it be? A net, though, is something that doesn't focus on one. A net is cast wide, right? A net catches lots of fish. A net might also catch a boot or a tire or something like that, but it's also going to catch some good fish. What kind of fish will our net catch if we cast it out wide and where the fish are? Well, is it going to catch poor fish? Is it going to catch loud fish? Fish that smell different than us? Fish that don't look like us? Is it going to catch fish that don't love like us? I think it will. Because I think the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, reaches out into the hearts of people who think the same and people who think differently. The Holy Spirit reaches out for those who vote the same and vote differently. The Holy Spirit reaches out for everyone, regardless of the little boxes that we put ourselves in, right? And so, if we are going to go out there and we're going to fish and we're going to cast that net out, then we have to be willing to take the fish that come in when we haul them into the boat and to love those fish. Not as so that we can say, "Oh my goodness, we got so many people, we have to have two services. How wonderful is that?" Or, "Oh look, now we can make more money." But instead, so that we can say, "Look, we need you. You have skills. You have gifts. You have joy and love and experience that we can share with others. That when you're with us, we are better than we were before you were here." If we cast the net, we have to decide if we're just going to throw them all back if they don't fit the way that we want, or if we're going to keep them. I want to follow Jesus. And I believe that part of why I do so, why I follow Jesus, is because followers of Jesus, who were around me when I was younger, saw who I was. Not who I wanted to be, not who people were telling me I had to be, but saw who I was and said, "Hey, you can follow Jesus by being you." And that's what made it possible for me to do the things that I've done in my life, right? I had someone say to me during my pastoral ministry before I went into the college that, "Hey, you know, you talked about this desire to work with young people and this, that, and the other. Maybe you should look into that." And that encouragement meant that I made a change and brought me to here, to y'all lovely people, to the wonderful young folks at SMC, and has changed my life for the better, and I hope it's made a difference in a few people's lives. Now, that's only because somebody looked at me and said, you have a skill, you should use it. Not, hey, you don't fit exactly that platform that we need in this particular place, right? You're not the preacher that fits in this church. And let me tell you, I was not the preacher that fit in the first two or three churches that I served, okay? I really wasn't. I was weird, okay? But they figured out that there's a place where weird works, and that my brand of weird might speak to somebody else who has a similar brand of weird, right? And that other people might give a chance to that brand of weird. And look, each of you has gifts and graces and wonderful ways that you serve Christ. And the trick is figuring out how you can use those gifts in service of the one who calls us, right? Nobody seemed less likely to be a follower of the Messiah than these fishermen. And yet Jesus looked at them and said, I need you and I need your skills. This is what the church should be. Helping one another discover how we can use our gifts in service of Christ. How you can be truly you while following Jesus. Amen. There's a wonderful quote, and it's been attributed to Irenaeus, but I don't know if it was actually him. And it goes like this: the glory of God is a human being fully alive. God rejoices when you and I find our niche, when you and I are able to serve and to love while being authentically us. You don't have to be, I don't have to be Billy Graham to preach to you, right? Phyllis doesn't have to be, Michael W. Smith in order to lead us in music, right? And in fact, there's an argument that that wouldn't help us. What we need is Phyllis, right? Ron helps us with music because he uses his skills, right? He already has the skill of playing the guitar and of singing and leading in music, right? And that comes to us and that blesses us, right? Each of us has gifts. Whether that's administrative, whether that's cooking, whether that's hearing what people have to say. Each of us has gifts, and when we use those and it fills our souls and it fills the souls of others, then we are being the body of Christ. Another way of talking about that is discipleship. That's on our sign, right? Grace, guidance, pursue. We're here to make disciples, right? That's what we do. And so, how can I support you in finding how you can follow Jesus while being your authentic self? How can you support one another in being, taking, not just putting down your nets, right? They drop their nets, but then they go and do that again, right? They use their skills to follow Jesus. How can you use your skills? How can we help one another to use our skills to bring people to the kingdom and to help others to hear the good news of Jesus Christ? So, let's go fishing. But let's toss aside the rods. Let's grab some nets. And let's go find a way to show one another that they are loved, everyone that we meet, loved in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen.